Next item is discussion and consideration of Vietnam veterans books for Story County Vietnam veterans. Brett.
Morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
And I'm not requesting any money, so. And VA will probably have money at the end of the budget to give back to you, so how about that?
We like you.
All right. Let me just kind of open up here. And I'm going to let Dan's going to talk a little bit about this book. But, 50 years ago, America sent over 3 million of our sons and daughters to Vietnam and millions more to other places in the world. When they came home, we ignored them and did not give them the respect they deserve. That was the best case scenario. As we know, many experienced far worse. Today, America is very different. We know how to separate war from warrior. And today, we welcome them all home with honor and gratitude. So now it's critical that we not only let them recognize the 50th year slip away without trying to do the right, to right the wrong of 50 years ago, America neglected to welcome home millions of their warriors. So we have a book that's going to be coming out, and we started donate a book for a veteran at a couple of outreach events that we had, and I want to give Dan $70. So there's seven books paid for.
Thank you.
Through donations. Dan, if you remember the movie Forrest Gump, mm-hmm. Well, this is Lieutenant Dan, and that's really what Dan. And when Dan was in Vietnam, that's what his job was. Is what you've seen in that movie as Lieutenant Dan. Does that about sum that up pretty good?
Yes.
Dan's a chairman for the Iowa Commission of Veterans Affairs. He's a survivor of stage 4 cancer, and that's really impressive. Please join in welcoming Dan Gannon.
Dan, we're glad you're here.
Thank you. I appreciate you allowing me to talk. I would appreciate you allowing me to get money, but that's another discussion we are having. But I want to thank Brett for asking me if I'd like to come up and talk about the Vietnam book, and I will talk to any organization that we may come across that's interested. Just a little bit about myself. I'm the chair of the Iowa Commission of Veterans Affairs. The Iowa Commission of Veterans Affairs is a 9-member governor-appointed body that's sole responsibility is for the care and welfare of our 230,000 veterans. I don't know how many veterans we have in the state of Iowa. But that's for a census report, but that's pretty close. Out of that 230,000 veterans, there's 73,000 Vietnam era veterans. So the commission has that responsibility, but we also have the responsibility, just to let you know, of our beautiful veterans home in Marshalltown. If you've never been to the veterans home in Marshalltown, go see it. It's a gorgeous facility, third largest veterans home in the country. Whether that's good or bad, Iowa just chose to have one veterans home. It's a gorgeous place, 600 residents and about 900 employees. So it's a pretty good sized facility. We're also responsible for the Iowa Veterans Cemetery. If you've never seen the Iowa Veterans Cemetery, you should go see that. If you're a veteran, that's one of your benefits. You can be, your burial there at the cemetery is free. And if your spouse wants to come along, it's about a $300 charge. But you might have to discuss who's going to die first, because the first one that dies goes down first. So it might depend on what position you want to be in the ground. So, but we have that responsibility. We have responsibility for the Iowa Department of Veterans Affairs, some oversight there. One of our really jewels is the Iowa Veterans Trust Fund, and we talk about this, and this is a trust fund that was set up by the legislature about 8 years ago. We have a certain amount of veterans in the state of Iowa that can't go anywhere for any help. So the trust fund was set up to cover that gap. And what I mean is, if you can't get any federal help, state, county, city, your mother's piggy bank, whatever, if there's no help there and you're hanging on by a string for some essential needs, then you can apply to the Iowa Veterans Trust Fund, and you'd apply through the county service office. To date, we've given out $1.6 million in benefits to those veterans that have no other place to give. There's about 17 categories, and three of those categories, though the most used categories, are for home repair, car repair, and believe it or not, dental, because nobody pays for dental. And a lot of veterans put dental off, and why is dental there? Because dental, if you have problems with your teeth, you've probably got some health issues. So that's an important thing to do. And then I just wanted to, then we're very involved with the legislature. How we got involved with this, we're in that 50th year period, and we're doing a lot of different activities across this country. In the 50th year, it's about a 15-year gap, because some folks' 50th year was 10 years ago, and some of them are just now, so it varies. So in this process, we're trying to thank our Vietnam veterans, as Brett said, for the efforts they did that they didn't get thanks for. So this book, and this is just a copy of one. This is Utah's book. Iowa's book will be here in 2 days. And then we'll be setting up a distribution through the county to distribute these books. And these will be going initially to Vietnam in-country veterans free of charge. We don't think, we got a lot of debate on that. They're $10 a piece. So if you do the math and there's 73,000, that's $730,000. A lot of money. We don't think we'll need that many, but it's still a cost. They're not free. Versus the Korean War books, I think some of you have seen the Korean War books. They were free because the South Korean government paid for those. There's a Kuwait book out right now that we're trying to get more of, but the Shah or whatever of Kuwait, we think they can pay for those books. But it's kind of difficult to go to Vietnam and ask the Vietnam government to pay for our books. So we're paying for them ourselves. But the good thing about it, this book here is 175 glossy page book, beautifully done, with many, many stories. It's a $50 book in value. We've got some huge corporate sponsors across this country that's helped us. So the book only costs us 10 bucks. So the question is, well, why don't we just sell them? But that's not what we want to do. To me, that's, you're a Vietnam vet. Thank you for serving, but it's going to cost you 10 bucks. So our energy is into to give the Vietnam, at least the Vietnam in-country vets, a free book. They'll have to go to the counties to get them because we have to control those books. And it's a win-win for the county. When that Vietnam vet comes in, guess what they're going to do? They're going to give them a book, and they're going to say, thank you, but the next thing they're going to do is, I've never seen you before. You sit right down here, please, sir or ma'am, because I'd like to talk to you about your benefits, or I'd like to offer you. I'll tell you about the benefits. I see you have hearing aids. Is that a service connected? So it's a win-win. And just to let you know, in the census report, which is 2015, but it's the most accurate thing that we have, and same thing to be the Veterans Affairs uses, in Story County, there's 1,257 Vietnam-era veterans. So to pay for the county would be about
$12,570.
If 100% of those came.
If 100%, yeah.
If 100%, yeah. And the other thing is, we have counties says we're going to raise our money so we can take care of our county, but that doesn't work in this case because this is a cumulative thing. We can't get down to get county specific because I have to purchase these things. Through the generosity of the Iowa Veterans License Plate Fund and through the commission who controls that, we approved $400,000 out of that fund, which didn't deplete the fund, but depleted most of it. But that fund isn't sitting there just for a rainy day. That fund, the money is supposed to be used. The money gets into that fund by if you purchase a veteran plate or a veteran type plate. When you renew that plate, there's I think a $10 fee, and that fee goes into that fund, and all that money goes back to vets. So we're doing it for the right thing. It's just I need another couple hundred thousand to satisfy what I think we're going to need. I don't think we need 73,000. I think we may need 50 to 60,000. So we have some things going on with various corporations. I'm out making visits. Bob Meyer, I don't know how many of you know Bob Meyer. He's the chairman of the board of Casey's. Casey's, of course, is going to donate. And Bob is a Vietnam in-country veteran. And he took me to Prairie Meadows. I'll show you how this is done. And I walked away with $10,000 from Prairie Meadows. And Prairie Meadows is a great supporter of veterans. So is IV, so is Wells Fargo, and I could go on and on and on. So right now we're working on that, but we're also working on anyone that wants to donate to this. You want to hand those out? Mm-hmm. I brought some donor. I brought a donor letter that I wrote along with an executive summary that's produced by RMS Productions, who makes this book. It's not only the book, you get an you get a DVD that comes along with the book, and so on. And it'll be really nice if we can give all of our Vietnam, at least in-country vets, a free book and say thank you for their service. It's kind of the added kind of the frosting on the cake toward the end of this 50th year period. So you can read through my, I won't take your time, but you can read through my donor comments. Then the executive summary, which is put together by RMS Productions, who produces this book and has produced the Kuwait book, the Korean War book, and gives a great breakdown of what the book's all about. And we're going to be sending out a press release as soon as we're ready to distribute these. All the books, almost all the books, will be here by Thursday. On the eastern side of the state, they're already there in the counties. We're delivering basically central Iowa Thursday, and then the eastern part of the state, or excuse me, the western part of the state will be first part of June, and then we're thinking about setting out a press release about the middle of June to get the word out. All you Vietnam vets, please come get your gift for your service. You have to go to your county to access that book. Any questions?
Let me just add to that. June 30th, I'm going to be picking up X amount of books for Story County. We're getting 3,000 for our district. So that's seven counties. So the first part of July. Now I'm looking for a DD-214 that has a Vietnam Service Medal listed on there to prove that they were in country. So that's where we're working at first. Is of course the folks that served in country.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually, we want to get it to everybody. You know.
Yeah, if we can raise enough money, I think we can. And I haven't worked at it very hard, but I've raised about $30,000 with just a few corporate sponsors, and I think we can get there. But we appreciate any gift that we can get, and all this money goes into the license plate fund to fill that back up again. And pay for the book. So that's how it's controlled. It's controlled through the department.
So $10 will buy a veteran a book. It may not be a Story County veteran, but it'll be a veteran somewhere in Iowa.
If I can retrack what I think I heard in a little different order, because numbers were flying around. Okay. So you have already printed the 50,000 books?
The 40,000 has been paid for.
The 40,000. You used the 400,000 from the license plate fund. That needs to be repaid, though.
Technically not, because the license plate fund money is to be used for veterans. We it's not a fund to store money. The problem, we got about $600,000 in that. We haven't had any projects that we could use that kind of money because we're bringing in about $50,000 to $60,000 a year on license plate renewals. But as long as that fund gets larger and larger, guess what the legislature wants to do? They want to come in and scoop the money out and use it for something. So this is one way we're going to use it to help veterans. And we've used the funds out of that money for various veterans activities throughout the state of Iowa. Just we have money there that can help pay for a big part of this.
Okay. And where I was headed with this is what is the absolute amount of money you need to raise. And then I heard that this first set of books and the first set of books that Brett will get for distribution will be in country. So is the 1,247 people, is that in country only, or is that our entire Vietnam veteran era population?
That's the entire population.
because originally when Brett said something, talked to me about this a couple, 3 weeks ago, it was 2,400. So I had in the back of my 24,000, which we're down to 12,000.
There's no way that anyone knows how many Vietnam vets in country or anywhere, because you can't ask that question. We have to rely on the VA. And the VA uses the 2015 census. This is a census report they give us, as close as they can be. We don't think, and that's a queried number, so it's from a date to a date. So we know that includes all era. We would like to give a book to everyone, just like we do with these pins, that the paintings we've done for 50 years, but it's also a cost thing. So right now, the commission has said, let's prioritize it. Let's make sure we get those who were in country get a book, and if we raise about a couple $100,000 more, because I think that with 60,000 books we can cover it. That's my opinion. I don't think we need 73,000. The other reason we didn't order so many, we didn't have the money, but the other thing is there's no sense of buying more than we need.
Right.
So we'll see, because as the counties give these out, they'll be feeding information back to us, then we'll roll up a number and say how many more do we need to buy. I think we need to buy at least another 150, maybe 200. 115,000 to 20,000, which is about $200,000, is what we're going to be short on.
Now, if I could continue on kind of the monetary track that Brett and I spoke, discussed this, was that the hope that we could provide one, the county could provide money for every Vietnam era veteran to receive one for free. And I'm hearing now that we're not going to be able to track that. If we raise that much money from Story County and deliver it into you, it won't necessarily be tracked specifically to these books were for Vietnam era vets from Story County. But you still, we might set that goal.
I mean, we could track that. I mean, based on the money comes in, the gal that's going to be entering this stuff in is tracking where the money's coming from.
Okay.
The problem with, and what Brett's idea is great, and we've had various counties say, well, I'll raise all the money we have for the veterans that shows on the census. The problem we have is how we purchase those books, how we get those books in. It's going to be very difficult to make that a fair thing when some counties do and some counties don't. Okay. If I had an excess of money or we were just buying them outright, then that'd be a different story. But we are hoping to give them out as a gift.
Sure. So then, Brett, and then walking forward, stop me if I get screwed up here, okay? So we were originally, you had said you might be able to find as much as $9,000 out of your budget still this year to help to put to that. Okay, and I understand. I'm just relating a discussion, trying to bring myself and everybody else kind of up to date.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're looking at doing some kind of fundraising for the rest of that, basically what we thought was the 21,000. Okay, 15,000 straight.
Yeah.
Now these numbers are roughly down to 13,000 from the 24,000 to 13,000. And I'm hearing your budget would not absorb, so we're looking at a total fundraising project then, unless the county donated some money itself, correct?
Yeah, and we might be able to get some funds from the Story County Freedom Flight, too. I haven't talked to them yet about that, but...
Okay.
But that was the problem that we ran into. We send $10, it might go to a veteran in Dubuque. I mean, it might actually buy a book for somebody that's not in this county, because we can't earmark the money.
If all counties did what Brett's proposing, it would be great. If they could take a list, take like here's 1,257, let's raise $12,570. And if every county did that, I'd have all the money I would need to literally just go purchase them and give them to anyone, like we did in Korea and the Kuwait, because they're already purchased.
Okay. You said 3,000 are coming to our district. Is that what I already said earlier?
Yeah.
How many of those are you going to end up with?
Well, I asked that question. I haven't got an answer yet.
Roughly,
it's supposed to be 50%. I think we're looking at 50% of our veterans.
So 600 is what you're telling me? 447 Vietnam era veterans.
Yeah, let's say maybe like 5.
I can.
What is that number?
I can tell you.
Probably less than
Story 5. County in the first distribution gets 629.
Okay.
Is it, Mark Lee and Lucy Martin, is it an appropriate expenditure of dollars for Story County to purchase a book like this for its veterans if we decided to? So if it was in VA's budget and they determined that this was worth doing for those veterans, it's an appropriate expense. So what I'm going to suggest is we accept whatever books are coming our way, no money, but as they get into veterans' hands, Brett, you keep track of it, and we keep our supply at whatever level we need to keep it at. I'd say if you had 100 on hand at any one time, we were in good shape. But okay. Then we're actually sending money back in for the books that we hand out to Story County residents. I mean, I wouldn't want to do it week by week or month by month, but a couple times a year maybe we send a check in for the books that have actually left our office. I think there's real value. I tend to agree. This is another opportunity for you to get in front of some of our veterans that you don't otherwise see. I think it's worth $10 to do that. I think it's an outstanding program. I'm just trying to feed. Hard to justify sending in $12,000 when we don't know exactly where it's going. But if we can justify, hey, we handed out this book, we handed out these 100 books, then it becomes a budget conversation between you and this body at budget time.
Yeah.
Every year.
Yeah.
I'd also like to, for Dan to let you know that we'd already thought about maybe being able to put information about this to the public out through a quarterly publication that we distribute countywide called Our Story. I think that might be an appropriate feature to let people know that they too could go ahead and contribute.
And I would think if that the information that Brett handed you, you could use that however you want to use it, because that's what we give corporations, that's what we hand out at meetings, because it explains what the process is about, and then it explains the book in detail. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to be sending out a press release. We haven't decided what day we're going to kick that off, but there'll be a press release coming out from the Iowa Department of Veterans Affairs when we know everyone has the books or every county has the books and they're ready to be distributed.
Outstanding. Marty.
No, it's a great narrative. I've just sat here listening to it and reading this. I look forward to seeing how this one goes. I was just watching a gentleman sit in our office today reading C2C, and I'm thinking, like, we can put better reading material out there for him to read.
That's great reading material.
He was doing a deep dive on the C2C, and I'm thinking, we can have better reading material in our office.
As a commemorative gift.
Yeah.
So a Vietnam vet can take it home and share it with his family, share it with his friends, like any commemorative gift, and it's a nice thing to have just sitting around just to understand the war. When you get back in the book, it's all broken down into specifics. The first 8 pages, I did mention that. The first 8 pages is an Iowa-specific section. It's got a message in there from the governor and some things about Iowa. It's called the Iowa Forward section, which makes it Iowa-specific. And then the last, about 160 pages, is a generic section, and it breaks the period down in different periods of the war. So it's put together very, very well.
Well, great value. We appreciate your commission's willingness to kind of pay it forward and get this produced. We will absolutely work with you and have discussions about how Story County is going to be able to participate. Brett, okay. For our part, our direction to you, I believe, is keep track of every one of these books that leaves your office door so that we know exactly what we're going to do.
I know we got you to take.
Absolutely. Yep.
Can I take that message to all the counties in the state of Iowa?
Call us. I'll be glad to talk to anybody. Lawrence Marty, any other direction you want to give on this? Thank you very much.
We're setting the bar high here in Story County.
Yeah, right. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen.
The next item we're pulling for today's discussion. Sheriff had some training he had to get to, and he wants to be here for discussion consideration of adding one additional detention officer. So stay tuned for that one down the road. Next is discussion and consideration of 2017 classification and compensation plan update. This was something that we did 5 years ago originally, and it was time for an update. This board approved, it was this board, wasn't it? It was a previous board that approved this update. Laura, do you remember whether it was this
back
board?
Back in November. I was in the audience. It works.
Okay. And so now we're receiving the report. Alyssa.
Good morning. Good morning. Here. Good morning.
Morning.
I have here today Julie Uloff, is that how you say her last name, from Springstead. She was the consultant that we worked with for our update. And as Rick had said, we did this back in 2012. We did a full compensation study and adopted a completely new compensation plan. So that included revising and adopting 83 new job descriptions, putting this into place. So we wanted to make sure we adopted a compensation policy a few months ago, or last fiscal year, that stated in there that we would do a salary survey about every 5 years. I mean, you don't want to wait much longer. We want to make sure our ranges are in conjunction with market rates to make sure we have some competitive salaries for our employees out here. So I won't go into any more detail, but I will turn it over to Julie to kind of explain the process and her findings.
Thanks, Alyssa, and good morning,
morning.
To Board Chair and Supervisors. I'm glad to be here. As Alyssa said, in 2012, Springstead conducted a comprehensive comp and class study for Story County's non-union positions and established a recommended pay plan at that point in time. And I worked closely with Sharon Klump, who did the study at that point in time. She is now focusing most exclusively on executive search, so she passed this along to me. I do studies like this almost exclusively around the country. So since 2012, Story County has been maintaining the Associated Job Evaluation System, the SAFE system, independently, with Springstead providing some review of any reclassification requests. So given 5 years have passed since the last study, we know that market conditions have changed fairly significantly, so we wanted to go ahead and revisit particularly the market just to see how the plan compares. So looking a little bit at our objectives, the first objective, we wanted to make sure to review any job classes that have been added in the last 5 years or have changed since 2012. It's not uncommon over the course of a five-year period for jobs to evolve in any organization, or even aspects of a pay plan to change over the course of that time. Secondly, we wanted to review the current SAFE database that the county has been maintaining. Make any recommendations for changes to job evaluations that may have either been performed back in 2012 or in the interim time period. Third, we wanted to administer a total compensation survey comparing the county's benefits to analogous positions in the immediate labor market. And then we also wanted to adjust the compensation plan for designated non-union positions, providing any recommendations for job evaluation changes or potentially changes in grade assignments. So to accomplish these objectives, the HR director provided background about the pay plan changes that have occurred, such as an updated list of job class titles that are affiliated with this particular plan at the county. We were provided with position analysis questionnaires. It's pretty much the exact same form that was used in 2012 that was filled out by employees and all the job classifications associated with this pay plan. And as a review, the PAQ is essentially a data collection instrument that enables the internal job evaluation process based upon job requirements. Next, we moved on to a customized survey of organizations with positions similar to Story County so that we could obtain compensation and benefits information for matching positions in the area labor market. So attachment one of your materials is the survey recipient field. And I realize it's really difficult to read on the slide. I think it's a little bit easier in your materials. Essentially, we contacted 25 organizations all the organizations were the same field that were used in 2012. We did receive a direct response from 18 of the 25, so that's an extremely good response. Yeah, and that was largely due to Alyssa's help in the process as well. So let's see. So going on to the salary survey summary, attachment 2 in your materials, it's a two-page form with lots of numbers on it. But on the second page, there are some numbers in bold at the bottom that give you an idea of where Story County compares with these market benchmarks currently. So on average, we did find that the county pay levels tend to be slightly above pay rates in your labor market, and that's particularly at the maximum of the grade. So specifically, the average minimum wage at Story County is 0.98% above the market average. Average midpoint wage is 3.75% above the market average. And average maximum wage here is 6.22% above the market average. So the county has been doing a very good job keeping pace with changes in the marketplace as far as compensation. While we were waiting for survey response from the survey field, we reviewed the PAQ information that we were provided against the job evaluation per position that currently resides in the county's SAFE database. And this slide is just a review of the elements of the SAFE job evaluation system and the 9 factors that it looks at in evaluating jobs. So that's attachment 3 in your materials. So at the point in time where we received enough survey response from the survey field and we had reviewed the job evaluation scoring, made some adjustments in the SAFE system to that scoring, the next step involved linking the SAFE job evaluation to the survey results, and we use that using a valid and reliable method of analysis. It's linear regression. So attachment 4 shows you a salary curve, and what this does is it compares the survey compensation midpoint for each position to the recommended SAFE job evaluation score that resulted from our Springstead review. The positions that were surveyed, they show on the grid as dots on or around a line. And it's difficult to see up there in the right-hand corner, but there's an R-squared value of 0.9681. And what this does is it gives a picture of how good the correlation is between two variables when using a linear regression model. So to put this into context, an R-squared value of 1.0 would be a perfect correlation between two variables. In this case, survey average midpoint per position and SAFE job evaluation score. So you can see at 0.69681, it's pretty close to 1.0. So
what kind of score there on the R-squared are you happy with? So what value there would cause you real concern?
Whenever we do a pay plan update or a comprehensive study, we always endeavor to get an R-squared value above 0.9.
Okay, so above 0.9, you feel like you're getting relevant data?
Absolutely. Okay. So very high degree of accuracy. 5 of the 26 positions that were surveyed did not return valid market data, so they're not reflected there as dots on the grid. And that's not unusual. And in fact, to only have five is very, very, very good. So those positions, they fall onto the pay plan based upon their safe job evaluation scoring only. So pay philosophy, a couple words on that. In updating a pay plan, it's always important to keep in mind the county's pay philosophy. And I was reviewing the 2012 document in detail along the lines of your pay philosophy. Some of the main concepts include, obviously, a desire to be market competitiveness in pay rates and benefits. Maintain internal equity between positions based upon job requirements. Facilitate a means to move within the range based upon satisfactory or better performance. And, of course, you want to have a system that is easy to administer, that you can continue to administer independently as we go on.
Let's stop right there before you go on. So, Board, this was the philosophy that the Board in 2012 adopted. Now is a great opportunity if you guys see something there that you'd like to discuss, disagree with, or there's something not there that you think should be there. Because coming out of this meeting, this Board takes ownership in whatever we do. So now is a great time to talk about that. That's what we said in 2012.
I remember those conversations and sat and listened to them, and I thought it's well-rounded, and it seems to address the types of things that in the past, when I've been involved with the two large companies I worked for, that these were the targeted areas also.
Well, this was something that Story County had never had before. We had never had anything that tied all of this together, and no real mechanism for making sure that we were maintaining touch with what the market was really doing, which was the impetus behind creating this. Marty, do you see anything there that causes you concern?
No, I can only imagine what, prior to getting to 2012 to hiring this firm, that you saw and would you would have to have dealt with on a year-over basis, because I don't think there is any real direction.
There was a reason we did it in 2012, absolutely. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. All right, so at this point we're able to basically generate a updated or proposed salary schedule. This is attachment 5 in your materials. And this is an open range structure. It's the same structure that you have currently for positions on this pay plan, along with the same variables used currently. So right now you've got 8% between grades, and you've got a range of 50% within the grade. So the revised starting midpoint is, let's see, $32,136. So this number is crucial just from respect of it reflects current market conditions, and that is the starting midpoint actually for grade one, even though positions on this pay plan only reside between grade 8 and 17.
I'd like to ask, Julie, going back to your final report, because you talk about there were 10 employees with 5 or more years of service that have a current rate of pay below, and you know, in some cases well below, the market average midpoint. So this corresponds, those 10 employees are reflected up there, correct?
Correct. They might be better reflected on the next slide.
Okay. Sorry about that. Okay.
Okay. All right. So let's see. I did want to note that the range, the 50% range, that is a broader range than we typically see in the market. The market average is more like 35%.
Well, I think we see that. So you said we're within 1% at our starting, but we're up to almost 7% in our max. And I think we're seeing some of that from having a large range. For us, as I recall, Alyssa, the reason we went with a larger range when we adopted this is It was a new system. We had lots of uncertainty, and we wanted as much flexibility as possible. I think it's absolute. Now that we've got 5 years of history, we've done our second survey, I think it's worth this board discussing whether we want to tighten down that range just a little bit.
So attachment six is the title and grade summary. Again, a little bit hard to read there on the slide, but it lists each of the job classifications affiliated with this pay plan, along with the proposed grade, and just reiterates the minimum, midpoint, and maximum for each of those grades. One important note, I did recommend grade adjustments for some positions. And I did this to better align the midpoint of the position with the market. Okay. Right. So implementation, i.e. cost impacts, this is attachment seven. In your materials, all staff have current pay rates that are within their proposed grades for their positions. So, again, great job keeping up with the market. Given that, the recommended implementation provides a 2% increase to current pay rates for these designated non-union positions at a cost of $35,030 to the organization.
Is that in addition to the 2% we've kind of factored in the budget, or this is?
No, they made a recommendation to do a 2%. At that point, they made this recommendation. They didn't know that we were already doing a 2% cost of living.
Okay,
I did let her know that was the approved amount.
2%,
it is the 2%.
Okay.
It has. No, she did not know that was approved.
Thank you.
And I'll just point out the fact that we have no employees that are below minimum. That was not true five years ago.
We had some. Yep.
So just one last point here coincides with some of the narrative on the second page of the final report. I think it's worth noting that we are in a time of rapidly changing workforce demographics. There's large waves of retirements and not as many workers available to fill the jobs that are available. This reality, along with circumstances of a stable or growing economy, will cause competition for talent to increase substantially, even as soon as the next five-year period. So, more than ever, what we're seeing at Springstead is that it's important for organizations to carefully consider their pay philosophies to ensure that good performers are moved to the midpoint of their grade over a reasonable tenure with the organization. So that concludes my remarks. Are there questions?
So what action are we proposing outside of receiving this report? What action are we proposing for the board today?
They proposed a pay scale, compensation scale. That would be effective July 1st. If you want, you can either, consider that, or you can, if you want us to kind of, we had talked about changing the structure a little bit so there's not as much of a spread between min and max. We can go back and take a look at that.
Which I think is more closely, so if I'm reading this right, and Julie, you help me, the salary survey versus the proposed is a little tighter range, is what I'm seeing, and our current versus proposed has the full range.
You're talking about range for compression? Is that what you just said?
Yeah.
I'm talking about not having 50% from mid to max. Yeah.
The surveys that came in, I believe, were in the 30s, most of them.
30, 35
right.
range.
And so we're seeing a little, when we look at what we got back from the salary survey, we're seeing a little tighter range.
At other organizations.
As opposed to our current. Mm-hmm. And I would like, I don't know, Lawrence, you and Marty need to, like I said, we have ownership of this coming out of today's meeting. I'd like us to have a full look at, do we need to be more down in the 40% range rather than the 50% range?
Okay.
would it be beneficial to us? I think that our midpoint, I think you said our midpoint was 3% above what you got back from salary survey compared to other midpoints. I kind of like us right there just above those. It makes us really competitive. So I'm talking about a reduction in range from both ends rather than just a shrinkage.
Now, one thing with that, just to keep in mind, that would have some implications.
Sure.
Obviously, because we have a lot of positions that are trending towards the minimum versus the midpoint, so that when you compress that range, it would bring the minimum up.
Absolutely. But our stated goal 5 years ago, I believe, is the same thing that we feel today, and that is we need to be moving employees from the minimum to the midpoint in a reasonable time frame. And if that midpoint doesn't change, it means our goal is still the same. Mm-hmm. We're just compressing how far we go from either side of that. And again, I don't know where we come down on this. Now is the opportunity for us to look at this.
Yep, and we do have a mechanism in place. We've only had it in place not quite a full fiscal year, our pay for performance. So
right.
We do have that.
It's being utilized
it
to
is
help
being utilized.
Move us through.
Right. Yep.
And Laura Smarty, your feelings on this?
You, Julie, spoke about moving grades. Was that an up, down, or just how did you do that? I mean, tell me about the rationale when you change a grade level.
Sure. There were approximately 8 job classes where I proposed a 1 grade reduction. The reason being, again, it better aligns with the midpoint of the lower grade. The position better aligns with the midpoint of the lower grade. Otherwise, had we left the position in that 1 grade higher, you would essentially be overpaying significantly at the midpoint of that grade.
But the grade ought to be based on job responsibilities.
And they are. She took a look at that. And there were a few areas in which the complexity of the positions were, we had a difference in what if there were some that I moved versus their review. They reviewed all the points. There are new positions since 2012. Mm-hmm. There were probably 4 or 5 different ones, and we had a few reevaluations. So she did take a look at the complexity of the positions and score out those also based on the pointing system.
So by lowering those grades and the employee is being up near the midpoint of the higher one already, is that what you're saying, or are they at the midpoint of the lower one?
You have the majority of the staff on this pay plan are below the midpoint of either the former grade or the new grade.
Okay. So they would reach their midpoint on a lower grade faster than necessarily? Or it's still dependent on how far they were on the midpoint? From the midpoint.
Okay. But Laura, I would encourage us to view this in job specific, not person specific, job specific.
Yes.
If the job is a grade 10, then we need to have it as a grade 10.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a grade 12, we need to have it as a grade 12.
Right.
And that should be simply based on what the job requirements are, not based on who's in the job.
Why would they have changed, Julie, from 5 years ago? The job, are they because they're new jobs, or did we change the duties?
It could be both.
Mm-hmm.
In 5 years, jobs can change fairly substantially, so it could be both.
Okay.
Well, and you end up with jobs in gray area, mm-hmm. right? There's a gray area kind of between each grade, and I believe that 5 years ago, anything in the gray area, we tended to go up rather than down. And now we know more today than we knew 5 years ago.
And we take a big or a hard look at internal equity too. That was another factor when they're aligning what grades the jobs should be placed in and the points and different things like that. They look at the whole entity, not just each specific job. They kind of align everything. One thing to take into consideration is we only have 8% in between each grade. That's the compensation difference. So there, it's not a huge amount in between each grade. One thing that I found when I was trying to present the board every year of where we want to go, how we want to update that plan, is when I did a little salary survey, is that there isn't much there isn't much in between each grade. So while we may need to, you know, we have a grade 15, whether it's in IT is one of the examples that I have, the market for IT and the salaries are fairly high. So when we try to move those and get those aligned with market, it would overinflate some of the other positions that are really closely aligned on our pay scale. Okay. So it's real difficult when we do that to have everything work like that. Is why we take a look at the pointing and the grading system.
Mm-hmm. So if we kind of compressed and kept us more at the 35% from minimum to maximum, all right, we'd be looking then at the salary survey numbers. Is that what I'm understanding? A salary survey versus the proposed, and we're seeing those percentages then would be the change.
I don't think that's 100% accurate
to, right, well, to what I'm proposing.
So, yeah, absolutely. So what I'm suggesting is that our midpoint is our midpoint. And so if you look at midpoint from the column of current versus proposed, I think you get a good hard look at the midpoints if we were to move those eight positions around in terms of their pay grade, right?
Okay.
But that gives you a good feel at the midpoint, and that midpoint would be what it is. But then the range on either side of the midpoint would be a little different, is what I'm suggesting we consider.
All right, thank you.
Julie, I mean, do you have a feel on this as you were talking about it?
I think that it makes sense to consider narrowing that range to be more commensurate with market. I do think, in addition to that, it's a good idea to really take a close look at that pay philosophy. You know, is what you've been doing over the past five-year period, including the new performance, pay-for-performance initiative, is that really moving people as rapidly as it should be towards the midpoint of the grade? Because, you know, if you do have someone maybe who currently falls at the first quartile, which is right in the middle of the minimum and midpoint, technically you're underpaying them compared to the market because the market is 100%. So I do think that it's worthwhile to consider further the pay philosophy about moving people through the range.
Right, and we don't have enough data yet mm-hmm. to know how our performance makes. This is the first year of it. And it's our hope it's going to move people through the pay scale more rapidly, but we really don't have enough information at this point to know. What I would be interested in, so I happen to be in complete agreement with the eight positions that you recommend a change in grade. I'm good there. I'm in complete agreement with the midpoint that we have proposed here for those grades. I have a question on the range on either side of those. And I would have real interest in knowing who that would impact, because I believe if we were to narrow the range, we're going to have a few employees that are going to fall below that new minimum that I believe if we do this, we should make the commitment to bring them up to at least minimum to try to move them through the grade. I don't know what that number looks like off the top of my head, and I think it's important that we see it. So my question for you, Alyssa, is if this board wants to consider that, what's the appropriate action today? So if we want to just adopt this as presented, it's easy. We just adopt it today. If we want to make some changes, I don't think we have the information we need today to fully implement this. We could do pieces of it. We could accept the salary survey as presented, noting that we're going to explore a modification in the full range, or we could take no action and ask for more information. What's your thought?
Either of those work. We want to make sure that you take in the information and make a record of that. If you want me to go back and come back next week with a new scale, 35%, 40%, a couple different options, I can sure do that.
But starting from the midpoint
Correct.
That we have proposed.
But if you want to adopt that midpoint, then we would, rein that in a little bit.
And then looking at the maximum also, if we bring the maximum down a bit, that's going to possibly impact some people who are near their max but not at it.
Correct.
I mean, we have people, nobody's losing any pay. The difference is in whether there's opportunity to go up prior to the maximum. Correct.
Yep. And how we've handled that in the past, we did, when we did this study back in 2012, we did have one or two positions that were over the max. And so we, what we did is we technically red circled those positions. They were eligible for any cost of living increase, but they weren't eligible for any other increases. So once you reach, and our compensation policy states that once you reach the maximum of your pay grade, until that pay grade moves, you're not eligible for pay for performance. And that's somewhat normal. I've seen other pay compensation schedules in another county fairly close to us. If they're in that top quartile, they don't get any pay for performance increases either. So we're not limiting that. We allow any increases as long as they're within the range, is how our policy is set up.
The unfortunate part, though, is if we have someone who we really would like to acknowledge for superior performance, we're stuck. Right, once we hit the maximum.
Well, but if they're at the maximum, yes, Lawrence, I think you're 100% right. But if we're at the maximum, the reality is we are absolutely recognized superior performance. We don't have, it's not a normal thing for somebody to move through to the maximum. It should be a normal thing to get to the midpoint. But then from midpoint and on, it should be really, really tough to get there. And if somebody happens to be at the max for their pay grade, then we're recognizing them every single day by having them at the max of pay. There's other people in the county who are doing, in essence, the same job, same kind of characteristics, who right now are 50% behind them in salary.
I look at the titles and the types of work that's under here. And so much of it involves management or longevity. I mean, I look at how long some of these positions, the people who we have are serving versus the average that's shown even as you go back to a few screens back. So I look at that, and I look at seeing that, you know, there were five. You said that's great, there were only five that you weren't really able to go ahead and do a apples-to-apples type comparison on. But I do, I'm concerned that we end up with someone who is, that we've taken them as far as they can go. They're in a longevity situation, and how do we still recognize that person? That's literally, we are praising them, but so many people here have almost one-of-a-kind jobs. You can say you direct this department and you direct that department, or you manage this particular set of tasks, but there's a lot also included in there that may be specific.
Right.
So that's what I worry about.
And I think it's a reasonable worry, but what we still have to compare those positions to is what's happening on the rest of our pay scale.
I understand that.
And it gives you a reasonable position of where that position will slot in. Preference board, where do you guys want to head? I mean, we got, as I see it, three options with how we can handle this. First of all, outstanding report. Thank you so much for your work. For me, it affirmed that we're doing things the right way here in Story County. We are, in fact, very, very competitive. We do, in fact, treat our employees the right way in terms of compensation for the job that we ask them to do. And now, in my mind, we just need to clean it up a little further. I'm bored. If you guys decide that you want to just go with this as proposed, I'm really comfortable with that. I would have real trepidation about us not doing anything with this. And then if we want to look at refining it a little further, I'm really good with that as well. Your choice.
When somebody were to look at that slide, when you sit there and see our pay is slightly to somewhat above scale in the county, that is done with comparing to our peer groups, does that reflect the job market that we're in here in Story County, government specific? I mean, you know, you people seek value for dollars expended. I mean, I think that we're trying to retain who we have and accelerate and reward those that we do have. I guess
I want to make one comment. It's our ranges.
Uh-huh.
Now we didn't take a look at where our employees are placed within that range compared to other entities and years of service. I mean, they look at that, but this is our ranges. And when she points out, you know, our midpoint might be 3 points or 3% above where we're at market, that's the range, not the placement of the employees within that range.
And most of our employees are on the low side of the range.
Right.
So we're talking about our range being just above. If you were to look at our actual employees, we're either at or just below what others are paying. The other thing I would point out, Marty, is there were 14 counties that responded to this salary survey that really gave us good hard numbers. Only three of those are larger than Story County. Every other one, the other 11, are smaller than Story County, which is going to tend to kind of skew this a little down. I was really comfortable with the percentages that came back. I like the idea that we're starting basically at the market minimum, and then if you're here, you move through and we pay you just a little better than some of these other counties.
Talking again about range compression, in regards to, you had alluded to it, and I realized that on a compression that we would leave nobody behind, they would just move up through the bottom end of it.
Right. Yeah, I'm not talking about reducing the minimum that we pay. I'm talking about sticking with the midpoint that we have established that we think is a good sound midpoint. But right now, we go from 50%, from bottom to top. It's 50% spread. So theoretically, two people could be doing the same job in Story County with one making 50% more than the other one. Same midpoint. And all I'm suggesting is that you pull that back to there's a 40% spread between minimum and maximum rather than the 50. Still the same midpoint. So if the midpoint's 50,000, the midpoint remains 50,000. You're just only going 20% on either side of that 50,000 rather than 25% on either side of that 50,000.
In my understanding of doing that, it would be the same percentage on both ends.
Correct.
So if you take it down to 40%, you're going to come down 5%. You're going to go up 5% on the mid.
Correct.
To keep that aligned.
The timeline of this, you're going to, whatever we implement, either today or in the coming weeks, we live with for 5 years. So I guess we have that.
No, not necessarily. I bring it back every year.
Oh, you bring it back?
Yeah. So we use a consultant, and we do a formalized salary survey every 5 years. But we're constantly looking at other positions. Every year we look at the, you know, we take a look at the CPIU. We take a look at, you know, I typically get all the information from counties and cities of what they're moving their compensation schedule. Some move it every year. Others they haven't moved it in 8 years, 10 years. So we used to, prior to 2012, the old compensation schedule, which it had been 20-some years since we had done a study, they would move the compensation schedule, the amount of the cost of living that was awarded to the employees every year. Well, that doesn't give you a true and accurate picture of what market is.
Well, then everybody stays at minimum.
Correct.
If you're doing a cost of living and you're increasing the scale across living, everybody stays at the minimum all the time.
There's no movement. So we are doing a much better job of keeping that compensation schedule, our min to max, within market in our area. Now, I'm not saying that we moved the employee salaries through that where we should be at. We just started that mechanism about almost a year ago. So.
All right. So if there's further questions or comments, we can sure do that. Otherwise, I think the way that I'm going to ask for us to do this is that we go ahead and approve the study as presented. And then if we approve it as presented, then maybe come back and give Alyssa some further direction to come back and refine what we do with our range, if there's an appetite for that. Are either of you willing to make the motion to approve this study as presented?
No.
Okay. Boris?
I think the study is valid, yes. So I'll make the motion to approve as presented, but that doesn't mean we're adopting any pay scale out of it, correct?
So if we approve this as presented, as I understand it, we would be adopting everything in here.
Okay.
We don't limit our ability to go back and change something.
Well, no, I want changes too. So in that case, no, I'm not willing to make that motion. Okay.
Okay, so where do we go from here? So, so what we're not going to have is we're not going to have Julie back with us again. So now is a great time if you have questions about the study. It's the reason, frankly, that I wanted to get the study approved, and then we can work with staff to make any tweaks within any schedule. But if you have questions about this study, now's the appropriate time to ask you.
That's where I was stuck before. I don't have questions about the study.
Yeah, I think it's solid.
It's a solid study. So, you know, I guess I would move that we accept the study, all right, but still, as far as approving about what I want done next is separate. I'm not approving the recommendations of the study.
So we're going to direct Alyssa to come back to us to, you know, I know clearly the range has got me, you know, exercised, and the fact that, you know, on a compression basis, I think we have the ability to tweak this to make it at Story Counties. So. Mm-hmm.
I agree. Yeah, I'd like to look at the compression example, not only Rick's compression example, but one that compresses the minimum up what he's talking about, the 5%, but leaves the maximum as is. So I want to think about this. We're compressing. I want to bring that minimum up, but
so
I don't want to move the
so your midpoint
down.
Then wouldn't be your midpoint. So if you bring the bottom up, but you leave the top the same,
right.
Then your midpoint is not
correct.
Your midpoint.
Correct.
Okay, so this is going to be a fascinating conversation. So if we just receive the study, then we have a compensation schedule today. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what you're doing then is you're not making any of these adjustments for any of our staff with their midpoint at this point. But we can sure do that. I hate that we're if there's questions, if there's things that we need to know about the study, we need to be asking Julie now. And if there's not, then I think we need to be at a minimum receiving this study. And I'd like to see us go so far as even if it's only to approve and adopt components of it, to do something with what we've got here today.
If the only item is the compensation schedule and you want that a new compensation schedule brought in front of you, you could adopt everything but the proposed compensation schedule.
Correct.
The ranges.
I move to adopt everything but the compensation schedule.
Okay.
Of this report.
You willing to second that?
Yes, I am.
All right, we got a motion and a second. Acknowledge you received the report and to adopt everything within this report except the proposed compensation schedule. For clarification's sake, I believe that that motion also encompasses the 8 moves in pay grade that are in there.
Correct. So the scoring and the actual grade, the title and grade would be adopted, but the minimum and maximum ranges we will come back with, or I will come back with a recommendation.
Right, but in essence, if we
the
adopt everything
don't
else, we're adopting what's in here because our range right now is 50%.
And it's the exact same range.
And that continues on. So in essence, we're adopting the whole report even though we're pulling out the compensation schedule.
I'll just come before you probably next Tuesday with the recommendation.
Okay. That sounds like, I guess, what we're doing at this particular point in time that I want. Yes, okay. So in that case, then, do I need to amend my motion, Chris? I adopted everything but the compensation schedules.
And that's fine. And we can say right there, I'm just making the point that even though we're not adopting the compensation schedule, by adopting everything else, we stick with our current compensation schedule, which is in fact what was proposed, mm-hmm. Right? So just by default, we're getting there is all I'm saying to you.
But we have adopted, as you said, the changes, correct, in
yes.
The grades.
So what you're not doing is adopting a pay schedule effective July 1st, 2017. That will need to be done next week or sometime prior to July 1st.
Yeah. Yeah, not next.
Sooner than later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Further discussion. Marty, anything?
No.
Laura, are you good?
I'm good.
Laura, Olson.
Aye.
Chitty.
Aye.
Sanders, aye. It is adopted. This entire thing is adopted with the exception of the compensation mm-hmm. schedule. Julie, good work. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Pleasure meeting.
Next item on our agenda is discussion consideration of resolution 17-106 Iron Bridge voluntary annexation. We're going to take a 2-minute break, Gary, before we get to that.